You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It has been reported that millions of dollars has been spent in Otago to control populations of wallabies, but some critics are saying that the money is being spent with little results. Associate Professor Margaret Stanley from the University of Auckland disagrees that this is a wasted money and highlights the importance of controlling wallaby populations. I began by asking Margaret why complaints towards the money spent are misguided.
Yes, well, wallabies are really taking off in New Zealand. Now there's been some fairly small populations in Canterbury and in Bay of Plenty, but really over the last few decades they have expanded rapidly, got great habitat for them and no real predators. So the trick now is to reduce the impact in those areas, but more importantly to contain those wallabies to those areas. So it's really important we stop them getting into places like Otago. So when they are starting to what we call an incursion and break into out of Canterbury and into Otago, we need to stomp on that to prevent the costs of having really an entrenched pest there that's going to have a huge impact on farms and native vegetation and cost a hell of a lot more to control year after year after year.
And what are populations of wallabies like across the country? Are there, as you mentioned, Canterbury has a significant population, but what other areas? And do we sort of roughly know how many numbers there are?
Yeah, I think particularly the Bay of Plenty, so around Rotorua and that kind of South Canterbury area is really booming with wallabies, and they're certainly spreading. I reckon they can spread about 2K a year. So it's just a matter of, A, trying to get people not to move them around, but also just to stop them spreading. It can be very difficult to find. So detection is really a problem. So that's where the costs are, not in killing the animal, but in actually in finding it, being able to detect the needle in a haystack.
Yeah, and what ways are used to control them? So obviously killing is one, but are there other ways that are also used to control the populations?
Pretty much any way that you can control them, particularly through shooting or toxins. But first you have to find them. There's no point putting toxins or hunters throughout the whole region if you're just trying to do surveillance in an area. So along that sort of Otago, North Otago, South Canterbury border, then you'd be trying to bring in all sorts of surveillance techniques. So there's been lots of effort being put into things like trialling drones, thermal cameras, dogs, all sorts of things to try and reduce the costs of surveillance, because it's usually just that when there's a few animals, it's a bit like an Easter egg hunt. The first few Easter eggs are really easy to find, but those last ones are the really difficult ones. So it's not actually the killing them that's the problem, it's the finding them first that's the issue.
How did wallabies end up in New Zealand in the first place? Obviously, people associate them with Australia. How did they end up across the Tasman over here?
Yeah, well, there was quite a few sort of bought in for private zoos. So Kawo and Island is a classic, with Governor Gray, who bought in a number of wallaby species, along with the zebras and all sorts of things that he bought in. There were other private zoos, but also for hunting. People have bought all sorts of weird things over the last couple of centuries in for hunting purposes. So, and then, you know, it's the usual story in New Zealand. They get away. There's not many predators and we've got some really lush vegetation for them to eat.
And is it the vegetation that is the main concern here? Are they also eating other animals? What sort of diet do they have and what sort of damage are they doing to these areas?
Yeah, so for farmers, they're a really significant economic pest. So they really will compete with pasture, with sheep and cattle. There's also, we know that sheep and cattle won't feed where there's a lot of wallaby poop, so they can actually reduce the amount of available pasture for sheep and cattle. But they can also do things like damage crops as well. But particularly for native vegetation, they can destroy seedlings, so stop regeneration. They can destroy lots of native vegetation. And if anyone has been to Kaua Island, then there's very little in the way of seedlings kind of below wallaby height. So they can just really take out a lot of everything. And when you remove all that vegetation, then you have all those issues with erosion and slips and things like that, which is we've heard a lot about in New Zealand. So the vegetation is really, really important to keep there for a variety of reasons.
And is it a matter of controlling the population, or is the ultimate goal here to eradicate them from the country?
So the management at the moment is that the wallabies are in large numbers in that Bay of Plenty and Canterbury area. So at the moment it's just trying to keep the lid on of those in control, but contain them to that. So anytime they're coming out of those areas and they are predicted to spread quite widely, it's trying to clean them up on the edges. So stop incursions into other areas and keep them within those areas. So it's eradication for some regions, like Otago, but they're sort of too far gone in Canterbury for eradication, so just trying to keep the lid on them by keeping them down to a reasonable number so they're not having those impacts on farms and vegetation.
That was Associate Professor Margaret Stanley on controlling wallaby populations.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.